Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Thursday, October 6, 2022. Top story is Mayor Lori Lightfoot, along with the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, the BACP, in Chicago, announced 18 local community and economic development organizations, such as Chambers of Commerce, Community Development Corporations, and other not-for-profit organizations, have been awarded grants to support small businesses in activating vacant storefronts across the city. These grantees will work closely with small business owners, artists, and landlords to provide rapid relief to small businesses by designing and implementing vacant storefront activations on commercial corridors. This plan will, of course, have an impact on a city that has been struggling with economic disparities and the presence of vacant storefronts in commercial areas bring a look of blight to the city. So we'll talk more about that later in the news. But first, we want to join a live broadcast from the White House. President Biden will be delivering remarks on creating jobs in Hudson Valley, lowering costs, and ensuring the future is made in America.
Is to our country and to communities like ours here in Poughkeepsie. Now, everyone, please join me in welcoming President Joe Biden.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you from the Ohio State. We have a running battle in my office because we have some that went to that other Ohio university, and it's constant. But Arvid, thank you very much for hosting us today. It's really important to us. And Governor, thank you for the passport into the state. I appreciate it very much. You're a great partner to me and a great leader of the state in creating jobs and making New York, once again, the hub of manufacturing in the world. They couldn't be here today, but you have two special thanks to your New York two great senators, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who never tells you what's on his mind. You never have to wonder. He's done a hell of a job. And Senator Gillibrand, she's done a great job as well. And it's great to be here with the Hudson Valley Congressman, Sean Patrick Maloney. Sean, I'm Catherine Eugenia Finnegan's son. I just want you to know that, okay? And also Paul Tanko, another Irishman. I'm only kidding, obviously, but I just want you to know that, the newest member, Pat Ryan, has proved the pundits wrong and got elected in August. Pat, great to be with you, pal. It's a hell of a delegation. It's one of the most competent in the country. It's great to be here at IBM here in Poughkeepsie. You know, an iconic American company founded more than 100 years ago, and that has more patents than any other U.S. company. Than any other, and I feel it's going to keep going. And the source of American jobs, American innovation, American pride. And it's here at this factory and the factories of other companies across America where America's future is literally being built. Because of the groundbreaking Chips and Science Act that I signed into law with the help of the Majority Leader Schumer and members of the Congress are here today. Chuck, stayed the course, stuck with me, and we got it done. And folks, by the way, just since we've been elected, we've created 678,000 new manufacturing jobs. We're just getting started. Where is it written that we can't lead manufacturing in the world? I don't know where that's written. And that's one of the things the CHIPS Act is going to change. A law that's going to build a future and a proud, proud legacy, not only for IBM, but for the country. A legacy of innovation and manufacturing that exists in this region of New York. It was here in Poughkeepsie where the rifles for World War I were made, where the first electric typewriters, calculators, even cough drops were made. I brought some with me. And it's here now where the Hudson Valley could become the epicenter of the future of quantum computing, the most advanced and fastest computing ever seen in the world. Quantum computing has the potential to transform everything, from how we create new medicines to how we power artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. It's technology that is vital to our economy and equally important to our national security. And it's technology that's made possible because of semiconductors, those tiny little computer chips everyone in this room knows better than any other room in the country, the size of a fingertip, that power our everyday lives, everything in our life, smartphones, cars, washing machines, hospital equipment, the internet, the electric grid, and so much more. But here's the deal. America invented these chips. They powered NASA's first moon mission that President Kennedy inspired here in America. Federal investment helped bring down the cost of making these chips, creating a market and an entire new industry. As a result, over 30 years ago, America had more than 30% of the global chip production. But then something happened. American manufacturing, the backbone of our economy, got hollowed out because companies began to move jobs and production overseas. And as a result, today we're down to barely 10% of the world's chips, despite leading in chip research and design. And as we saw during the pandemic, When factories that make these chips shut down around the world, the global economy literally comes to a screeching halt. More Americans have learned the phrase supply chain and what it means. Well, guess what? The supply chain is going to start here and end here in the United States. I'm not joking. For example, one-third of the core inflation last year, was due to higher prices of automobiles. Why? Because of the shortage of semiconductors that make these vehicles move. Folks, we need to make these chips here in America to bring down everyday costs and create good-paying American jobs. And don't take my word for it. Listen to the leaders of IBM and across the country. They're making decisions right now about where to invest to produce these chips. And they're choosing America because they see we're coming back. We're leading the way. As I said, since I came to office, our economy has created 10 million jobs, 668 manufacturing jobs. Proof that made in America is no longer a slogan. It's a reality. And the CHIPS and Science Act makes historic investment in companies to build advanced manufacturing facilities here in America. Since I signed into law last summer, we've seen incredible progress. Just here in the Hudson Valley, IBM is investing $20 billion over the next 10 to design and manufacture semiconductor mainframe technology and quantum computers. In Syracuse, the company Micron announced it's going to invest $100 billion over the next 20 years to build factories to make special memory chips. You have to explain to you all what a memory chip is. Those chips that store information on your smartphone, among other things. It's going to create 50,000 jobs and create an increase in America's share of the memory chips, increase it by 500%. That would be the largest American investment of its kind ever. And folks, last month, I was outside Columbus, Ohio, where Intel is investing $20 billion to to build a semiconductor factory and 100 acres of land that I've dubbed as the Field of Dreams. It's going to create 10,000 good-paying jobs. Union jobs, I might add. And a significant number of those jobs, you do not need an advanced degree. You do not need an advanced degree. So you're going to have people who are usually wearing blue collars who are going to be making an average $120,000 a year. And it's about time. I want to remind everybody, I know I get criticized for being the most pro-labor president in history. There's a simple reason for that. You're the single best trained, most competent workers in the world. That's the reason why. And by the way, the middle class built this country, but unions built the middle class. That's a fact. Look, GlobalFoundries and Qualcomm, they've announced a $4 billion project to produce chips in America that would otherwise have been made overseas. Qualcomm is one of the largest chip designers and planning to boost production up to 50% in the next 5 years. In North Carolina, Wolfspeed is investing $5 billion to make chips and devices for electric vehicles. That will create 1,800 jobs by 2030, next state. And folks, the future of chips industry is going to be made in America. That's not hyperbole. That's a fact. It's going to be made in America. And making these chips in America is going to create new businesses for countless small manufacturers and suppliers into the supply chain that's going to thrive, all because of this law. And many of these good-paying jobs don't require, as I said, a college degree. It matters. All of this is in our economic interest, and it's in our national security interest as well. Earlier this year, I went down to Lockheed's factory in Alabama, where they're making the Javelin missiles that we're supplying to Ukraine to defend itself against Putin's unprovoked war. Folks, and I've been able to cut off significant pieces of manufacturing needs that they have to make their weapons they're not getting from the United States. But that's a different story. We need semiconductors not only to make these Javelin missiles, but also the weapon systems of the future that are going to rely even more on advanced chips. Unfortunately, we produce 0% of these advanced chips today. 0% of these chips that we need today. China is trying to move ahead of us in manufacturing them. It's no wonder, literally, the Chinese Communist Party actively lobbied against the Chips and Science Act that I've been pushing in the United States Congress. The Communist Party of China was lobbying in the United States Congress against passing this legislation. And unfortunately, some of our friends in the other team bought it. The United States has to lead the world in producing these advanced chips. This law is going to make sure that it will. And to be clear, the Chips and Science Act is not handing out blank checks to companies. I've directed my administration, and I want you to listen to this, to be laser focused on the guardrails that's going to protect taxpayers' dollars. We'll make sure the companies partner with unions, community colleges, technical schools, and offer training and apprenticeships. We're going to make sure the work small and minority-owned businesses get to participate. We're going to make sure the companies that take these taxpayers' dollars do not turn around and make investments in China, investments that undermine our supply chains and national security. That's a guarantee. Because in this law, I have the power to take back any federal funding from these companies. They don't meet these requirements. That's in the law. The law requires the companies build these semiconductor facilities, pay Davis Bacon prevailing wages, and they do it here. And it's going to ensure the tens of thousands of new construction jobs created in high-paying jobs and more often high-paying union jobs. We're talking about building facilities at a time 10 times the size of a football field. And that's the construction side. The construction side. We're going to require companies to use these investments for workers in research and development, not to buy back stock or issue dividends. Let me say that again. You got to invest the money. You can't use it to buy back your stock. Look, and finally, this law is about more than chips. It's about science as well. Decades ago, the United States used to invest 2% of our GDP in research and development. That led us to create everything from the internet to GPS. We, the United States, invested in research and development. Today, we invest less than 1%, about 0.7%. We used to rank number one in the world in research and development. Today, we rank number nine. China ranks was eight a decade ago. China now is number two. And other countries are closing in fast. So the CHIPS and Science Act sets us on a path to move up again. It boosts our research and development funding back up closer to 1% of our GDP, the fastest single year in 70 years. It's going to make sure we lead the world in industries of the future, from quantum computing to artificial intelligence, advanced biotechnology. Think of the things and the kind of investments we're going to deliver. Vaccines for cancers, cures for HIV, inventing the next big thing that hadn't even been imagined yet. And here's something else that really is important. We're going to make sure that any company that uses federal research and development funding to invest in new technology has to make the product in America. In America. I mean it. That means we'll invent it in America and make it in America. And we're going to make sure we include all of America. We're going to support entrepreneurs and technology hubs all across the country, including in historic black colleges and universities, minority-serving institutions, tribal colleges. We're going to tap into the great competitive advantage of our diverse and talented workforce, urban, rural, and suburban. And folks, I've asked many other business leaders this question, because this is the other team who opposed me on this said this was the problem. When the United States decides to invest considerable resources in a new industry that we need to build up, does it encourage businesses to get in the game or discourage them? The answer is overwhelmingly, it encourages businesses to get in the game, including IBM. Federal investments attract private sector investments, creates jobs, it creates industries, and it demonstrates we're all in this together. During a trip to South Korea not long ago, I met with the chairman of the SK Group, the second largest conglomerate in South Korea that makes everything from semiconductors to large capacity batteries, electric vehicle chargers, pharmaceuticals. They've committed more than $50 billion in investments here in America, and they're going to grow its U.S. workforce from 4,000 to 20,000 in just 3 years. I believe the reason why companies like IBM are choosing to build in America is because we're better positioned globally than we have been in any time in a long time. This is not hyperbole. We have the best and most productive workers in the world. We have the best research universities in the world, a dynamic venture capitalist system, a rule of law that protects intellectual property. In addition, we wrote and passed the bipartisan infrastructure law that I signed with the help of members of the Congress who are here today and their leadership. And we finally decided we're going to move up from being ranked number 13 in the world in infrastructure to number one. Because guess what? When you have the best infrastructure in the world, companies invest where the infrastructure is and get product to market faster and cheaper and more reliably. Ask any business owner. Ask any business leader, what is one of the most important factors they consider when deciding where to invest? I promise you, they'll tell you it's whether they have a means to transport product around the country and the world. It's whether they have employees, have a safe and thriving place to live. The bipartisan infrastructure law means better roads and bridges, ports and airports, clean water, high-speed internet. For every American, that's going to create millions of jobs all by itself and make us more competitive worldwide. It's a game changer. $1,200 billion infrastructure. Let me close with this. You know, I've had a great partner here. with me and a great leader of this state who is creating jobs and making New York the hub of advanced manufacturing. And it really does matter. It really does matter. Because that's one of the reasons I think you have attracted some of the investment here from other major computer chip businesses that are in the world, in the United States. It matters. It matters. This is about economic security, folks. It's about national security. It's about good-paying jobs you can raise a family on. Jobs now, jobs for the future. Jobs in every part of our country, and that's what we're going to see here in this factory in the beautiful Hudson Valley. People of all ages, all races, all backgrounds, with advanced degrees to no degrees, working side by side, doing the most sophisticated manufacturing the world has ever seen. And they're showing what I've always believed. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've been saying this since I decided to run. There's nothing the United States is unable to do if we set our mind to it. Nothing. Nothing. And if we do it together. I really mean it. You see, you know, when I were walking down to get to the first event, we talked about it. War is going to change for the better in the next 10 years than happened in the last 40 years. We're at an inflection point in world history where the changes are going to take place in the next 10 are going to fundamentally alter the way in which we look at the world and our place in the world. And that's not hyperbole. It's real. And we are better positioned than any nation in the world to own the second quarter of the 21st century. I really mean that. It's because of companies like yours. It's because of innovation. It's because of all of your willingness to make it in America. So God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you very much.
And that was President Joe Biden. A live address and his discussion of a plan for jobs in technology. A lot of questions to be answered, mainly the ensuring that the opportunities will be spread across a diverse section of the population. And then there will be other international issues, such as where do the materials for these chips come from? What countries are we talking about? International agreements that are required for the labor force that gets the materials that come to the United States and are then used for the manufacturing of these chips. So there are many factors involved, and the relationships between all nations, whether they're seeing themselves as competing for this process of creating new technology or cooperating in this process. And what will this create in terms of future relationships between nations? Well, as we look at the need for business development and cooperation, in Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot is deciding to make available money that is going to make a difference in many of the blighted community areas. Along with the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, BACP, Mayor Lori Lightfoot has announced that 18 local community and economic development organizations, such as the Chamber of Commerce, community development corporations, and other not-for-profit businesses have been awarded grants to support small businesses in activating vacant storefronts across the city. These grantees will work closely with small business owners, artists, and landlords to provide rapid relief to small businesses by designing and implementing vacant storefront activations on commercial corridors, said Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Filling vacant storefronts with enticing and inviting displays and activations will go a long way in our city's continued pandemic recovery. By supporting our many commercial corridors, we are unlocking the full potential and vitality of our entire city. I congratulate and thank the grantees for working with the city and their communities to foster economic strength throughout our neighborhoods. She says this program will support small businesses that have been impacted by the pandemic and ensure the strong recovery of commercial corridors. BACP Commissioner Kenneth J. Meyer said the activations allow Chicago's artists to create inviting spaces to reimagine vacant storefronts. This program will unite and positively shape economic growth and vitality in our commercial corridors. Some of the Small Business Storefront Activation Program grantees include the 18th Street Development Corp, Austin Chamber of Commerce, Chicago Loop Alliance, East Edgewater Chamber of Commerce, FAR, South Community Development Corporation, Greater Chatham Initiative, Greater Englewood Chamber Foundation, Greater Southwest Development Corporation, Lakeview Roscoe Village Chamber of Commerce, Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce, Magnificent Mile Association, River North Commission, Northwest Side CDC, Puerto Rican Cultural Center, Rogers Park Business Alliance, the South Shore Chamber, Community Development Corporation, Southeast Chicago Chamber, Uptown United. And these organizations have been were part of the $2 million in this program being given in order to assist. The COVID-19 pandemic has left significant increases in commercial corridor vacancy rates across the city. Brick-and-mortar businesses that rely on foot traffic to drive sales were particularly harmed as commercial corridors across the city saw major reductions in economic activity. The grantees have been selected to either design or implement interior activations. That includes partnering with local small businesses to launch pop-up stores, community markets, and other commercial activations that support local businesses within vacant commercial spaces, or window activations. Grantees will work with local artists to create art displays or artistic signage promoting local businesses in vacant storefront windows. And, of course, the reality is that there were many businesses destroyed in riots in Chicago. Many of the riots following police brutality issues in which citizens were quite upset, the George Floyd killing, among others, and the riots that hit many of the commercial areas have left their damage. The Chicago Recovery Plan invests holistically in communities and industries hardest hit by the to support equitable economic recovery across the city. To learn more about the BACP's recovery plan efforts, please visit chicago.gov/BACP recovery plan. That's chicago.gov/BACP recovery plan. And if your organization may qualify, you can go to that website and determine the possibilities. Well, that is all for now on the On Air Daily News. Join us tomorrow, Friday, October 7th. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, for On Air Daily News, giving you updates about positive actions occurring around our cities, our nation, and our world. We want you to be empowered to make good choices that can enhance your life. Feel free to call in at 515-605-9749. That's 515-605-9749, and report your good news. Till tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.